Welcome to the Rosetta Health Podcast Series. With the goal of servicing the landscape of needs across the country for sustainable interoperability, Velatura Public Benefit Corporation is bringing a new model of health data exchange to the marketplace. And for this special podcast panel, we are speaking with a number of Velatura executives, which include Tim Pletcher, President and CEO of Velatura LLC and Executive Director at MyHIN, Mary Kratz, Executive Vice President of the Interoperability Institute, Angie Bass, Executive Vice President of the Velatura HIE Corporation, Rick Wilkening, Executive Vice President of Velatura Services, and Doug Dietzman, who is the Executive Vice President of the United States QHIN, otherwise known as US QHIN. And this is part two of this two-part podcast series, where we host an open forum discussion about key health data exchange trends and much more with the Velatura team. And Tim, Mary, Angie, Rick, and Doug, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, our pleasure.
Thanks, Matt.
Awesome. It's great to have everybody here. Lots of great stuff going on here. And now I'm going to open it up to group discussion. And in many ways, this first question might be a bit redundant because I think you all covered off on this in your respective answers earlier, but I'll throw it at anyway. You know, after running through all these capabilities, how can this combined organization really help advance health data exchange overall? And maybe to make things easier to kick off the conversation, we'll throw this to Tim first and just let it kind of flow from there.
I think the interoperability on a national and international level is pretty complicated. And so, you know, the idea of this sort of constellation of companies is that everybody can sort of stay focused on their special niche, but in a way that, you know, makes the whole really comprehensive. And so, you know, just to sort of position this a little bit, the Interoperability Institute is really at the leading edge of innovation and where is interoperability headed? Where is it going? And how do we figure out where the missing parts and gaps are? A new workforce behind us to continue kind of pushing that rock forward. And that's got almost international appeal and opportunities for collaboration there. Velatura HIE is really a place to help a lot of the HIEs across the country that are feeling like they're working hard to tread water, maybe not getting the recognition for the great work that they're doing at a community level and struggling to get to economies of scale, feeling a lot of national pressure. And so there's an opportunity there. Velatura Services is sort of sharing best practices and helping with the strategic alignment and really offering folks to reuse solutions and things that have proven to work in other markets that might not be familiar. And, you know, USQ is really positioning to really act as that connectivity point or that national node for all the rest of the entities, you know, under this umbrella. And so everybody kind of works together, focused on their key piece of the puzzle, but we all get the benefit of sort of the economies of scale of the organizations. So, you know, that really is moving all directions at the same time, but in a divergent way, really in a way that supports each other and able to kind of move things back and forth across the organizations as opportunities and challenges get presented.
All right. Great. Thanks, Tim. Anybody else from the collective team have anything else to add to this one?
This is Mary. To add to that, well, first of all, for Interoperability Institute, just love being that leading edge of innovation. But I think the piece that really makes this combined organization work, and I think Rick said it earlier, is when you look just on this call, you have over a century of combined experience. Now expand that across the workforce of this constellation of subsidiary companies. And what we've enabled is really this very agile organization. If we're looking at a leading edge technology, but we don't know quite what the right healthcare use case is, we have this whole span of expertise to be able to reach back to and tap into really advance that health data exchange overall. So it's really an amazing organization when you look at our ability to be agile and just the breadth and depth of expertise that is under one constellation.
All right. Well, let's keep on going on with these open questions. So we did address this one also a little bit, but I would love to dive deeper because I love the term constellation of companies or constellation of subsidiaries. And that's totally what it is. And all constellations tend to be have interconnected ways or they have connectivity. So how do each of these divisions slash organizations within the constellation truly collaborate? And maybe just for the sake of flow, we'll have Tim go first. And anybody else wants to add to that, that'd be great.
So yeah, thank you. The idea behind shared services is that as your entity specializes in the kinds of things that they do well, the others basically contract for those services, specialize in providing all the HR, the interviewing, the processing of interns and student associates. Another group basically says, okay, here's how you connect to national network. Another group says, hey, we've got the best people to come in and do strategic planning or process improvement. Another group says, hey, we have boots on the ground, and this is how we really help communities implement, you know, certain kinds of technologies or change their workflow. Another group might have, okay, hey, we're the cybersecurity team. You get the kind of idea, health policy, tap into the expertise of everyone else.
All right, great, thanks, Tim. Anybody else want to add to that one?
Matt, this is Rick, and I'll just give you an example. Over the past 24 hours, maybe 36, I've talked with Doug about a couple things. First, some experiences he's had that are reflective of some of the work we're doing for some of our customers right now. Secondly, how can some of the experiences that I've had in the past working with some of our communities, you know, the various stakeholders, support a new activity he's pushing forward with in the USQHIN space. I've talked with Angie about mutual customers and some of their challenges in figuring out how, you know, kind of both companies and the portfolio of offerings that we have between the Velatura Services and the HIE Co, you know, what's really going to help them, their customer, that customer move forward. And also had a discussion with Mary about something new and unique that we hadn't run into before that one of our customers wants to push forward with. It's going to draw upon some development and kind of forefront for thinking that the IOI team brings. And so, you know, we have the formal ways that we connect, but honestly, we really kind of bring this full breadth and experience, as Mary, you know, kind of reiterated, that help us really solve our customers' problems. And so I think, you know, it's a blessing to have this team and really all the various pieces that we can help bring to the table.
All right.
Yeah, Matt, this is Doug. I'll just add too, because of the complexity that was referenced, you know, kind of earlier, we each have our area of specialization because, you know, we really need to focus in, you know, these certain areas and be excellent and really go deep in them. But as a group, for the most part, we actually like each other. Actually,
that's great. That's a good thing.
For the all part. Right. And so, you know, as we're out, there's really kind of no wrong door. As we're diving deep within our respective areas, we certainly are understanding how what we have can impact customers or things that are going on in the other organizations. And based on the relationships and the good stuff that's happening, we're making sure that we're drawing on all of that wherever, whatever door a particular customer or someone may come through. How do we leverage the deep expertise that we have in these different areas and bring it together? And a lot of it, as Rick said, is informal as much as it is formal to make sure that we do that the right way.
Great. Thanks.
And this is Angie. I'll chime in too. I think having a bench like the Constellation where we can offer a myriad of things is really attractive because it's all under one umbrella. It's all in the house. And what we are finding across the industry is these are all things that every HIE and other interoperability stakeholders need, but don't always have the ability to have on their own. And so it's really an opportunity for us to be of service to them because we have the great opportunity to have these things at our disposal and offer them up to others who just don't have the capital or the resources to have all of these pieces. But all of these pieces are critical to ongoing success. And so it's really a great opportunity for us to be good partners to those in the market.
All right. Excellent. Thanks, everybody. And, you know, when you think of the term health data exchange and health data interoperability, and it's certainly out there in the trade media that we all read all the time, is that there are barriers to health data exchange that are very common and well known. And from your all's perspective, what barriers do you all break down, I guess, for each of your respective organizations? And rather than, you know, throwing it to Tim all the time to start it, I'll just open it up and whoever wants to speak first can respond.
This is Rick. So I'll jump in first and then I'll let others clean me up. But I think it goes back to the beginning when Tim introduced, you know, part of our philosophy to really bring in the public, private, and now kind of emerging the community sectors together, community service sectors together. So it's, that has been a barrier that we've seen where, you know, traditionally there's been a drive to set up some interoperability solutions through an HIE or driven by a health system or driven by a health plan. And it's been a siloed approach, hasn't really been open community approach. And so part of what we've found successful and what you're hearing through, you know, I think all of us on the phone here are that collaboration is a key to success. And so it's, you know, kind of the history and the lessons, the collective lessons we've learned that go beyond just the technology that I think our team brings as a unique strength.
Excellent. Thanks, Rick. Anybody else want to add to that?
I'll go then. So there's a couple of things we have in our toolbox that have worked out really well. This methodology we call the use case factory, which is a repeatable process to really get stakeholders engaged and to sort of specify what you're trying to do. We've also made the journey to the cloud. And so we're very comfortable in that cloud environment. And not everybody has gotten there yet. Because of our work at the forefront with the Interoperability Institute, 21st Century Cures Act, migration and expectations around open APIs, a very comfortable space for us to be in. As is where we think the interoperability and health information exchange space needs to travel relative to things like consent, the whole space of next generation technology, you know, things like machine learning that have a great future, haven't quite found their home yet.
Awesome. Thanks, Tim. I know somebody else chimed in at the same time. I did not catch who that was, but whoever that was, if you want to add to that, we're all ears.
That was Mary, and was going to say much the same. You know, one of the barriers that we really face is sometimes we hit communities sort of two ends of the spectrum. One is looking at the legacy, I'll call it, side of the system, where moving to the cloud and all of the barriers associated with that. Being able to provide that communication, show in that sandbox environment. It's not a scary technology. This is how it works. Being able to break down the various educational components so that organizations across local, state, regional, national context can really raise their IQ around new technologies like the cloud. The other side of that is looking at some of the communities that we work with who have not that collaborative culture that we have within the Constellation, but kind of more of a what we refer to as the NIH, the not invented here, and trying to really break down those barriers through communication, through education of this is really an impactful approach that we should look at together as an industry and trying to break down some of those not invented here barriers.
Awesome. Thanks, Mary. Appreciate you chiming in on that. So let's move on to the next question here. So let's talk about the contributions that you all are collectively doing to advance state, regional, and national interoperability. And again, we've probably covered off on a lot of this because I know we've covered off on many things, but I still wanted to throw this one out because I thought it was a good question. And maybe we'll start with Tim on this and just let it flow any way it goes.
I'll tell you what, I will turf this to the rest of the team. Let them where they want to take us first. I'll add.
This is Mary again. I am super excited about electronic consent. So this is a perfect example of a contribution that we're making with the collective knowledge that we bring as the Constellation. But Interoperability Institute taking a lead, recognizing that, hey, in the space of electronic consent, there's a huge need within the health industry for advanced care planning, advanced directives, for treatment procedures where you sign an informed consent, for clinical trials where a consumer has to give their consent. And what we recognize is that in the technology space, electronic consent's been around for a long time in the finance industry, in the manufacturing industry, and in many others. And so super excited that we were able to bring together a national community to have a really meaningful dialogue around how to apply electronic consent to health sector challenges in bringing in private industry companies that are working in this space, bringing in some of the public sector, some of both the state and the federal government to provide their perspectives, bringing in some of the academe, just a really good and meaningful dialogue that has resulted in a coming together of the community in a meaningful way to work together to address some of these challenges.
Awesome. Thanks, Mary. Anybody else have anything to add to that?
Yeah, Matt, I think another way, this is Doug, I think another way that we're doing that is our involvement in many of the standards bodies or work groups that are working to help solve some of the national challenges. We're doing that on a, as a company, formalized basis. And then I know each of us have our own places where we are serving on national committees or on boards or different things, all striving to try and push things along. So I think the company itself is trying to stay very engaged in how we help advance what the future of healthcare interoperability or the standards that are coming to help make things easier are going to be, whether that's in the solutions that we're building or, as Mary expressed, through IOI with the sandboxes and places that we have to help facilitate how that gets done, and just more widely on our personal kind of involvement in some of these organizations as well.
You know, Matt, one area that is another hot button for us as a group is really related to interoperable referrals, in that as an organization, we have a huge amount of experience with referrals management, particularly going into, but as we look at where is the system stuck right now, there really isn't good interoperability among organizations that process referrals. They sort of drop it down to a fax or drop it down to a direct secure message, but you don't get that loop function. One of the areas particularly interested in really advancing the dialogue is around getting the different groups who participate in those referrals, whether it's provider to provider, or provider to community, or within the community, is really tackling how do we make that happen on a really seamless scale across different kinds of companies and organizations.
All right, excellent. Thanks. And if we don't have anything else to add, here is our last question of the day, which is really our forward-thinking future look, if you will. So fast forward 3 to 5 years, what do you want to be recognized, both from a large-scale organization as well as for each division? And maybe just to make things easy, we'll just run on down the line like we did with our intro questions here. So we'll start with Tim and then go to Mary, then Angie, then Rick, then Doug.
I would say our good citizen in this interoperability community, we basically be viewed as folks who sort of care about patients' choices, have the best understanding of how patients are connected, not just to the healthcare space, but to the rest of their life or school, et cetera. And that we're really able to help folks take their technology. And I would say, you know, Velatura is a painting tech to make clouds or to sort of blend in paint so it's sort of, you know, transparent like you do when you make a sky or a cloud. To be known as the people you go to help all this technology and interoperable fabric of what work you're trying to achieve.
All right. Thanks, Tim. Mary, you're up next.
Wonderful. Well, 3 to 5 years, love looking into that crystal ball. I think Rick expressed it best. Collaboration is the key to success. Really using that key so that Interoperability Institute is seen as an enabler of how we apply technology in a meaningful way to advance interoperability. And in that process, being able to provide those opportunities to the next generation workforce. So after all of us on this call are happily into retirement, that we have a very strong workforce that can enable our healthcare systems.
Awesome. Thanks, Mary. Angie, you're up next.
Yeah, thanks so much. It's pretty simple for me. It is, we become the largest national health information exchange, data exchange network in the United States because of the partnerships that we have built and the collaborations that we have. And we need to work hard to get there, but it's definitely an achievable vision.
Awesome. Thanks, Angie. Rick, would love your take.
Yeah, actually, it combines a lot of the previous answers. And I think, especially with Angie's, we will be serving customers across all those target markets we have within the HIEs, the state agencies, health plans, and health systems, with footprint in every state across the country, and helping, you know, solve these problems with things like, and we didn't really talk much about something we have called the use case factor, but it's really, it's an approach to define what's the value proposition, who's going to, you know, adopt this, how do we walk it through marketing, et cetera. That type of methodology will continue to play. That'll play out for, you know, years to come, and being able to apply that type of methodology to get those results and continue to see the successes across the country.
Awesome. All right, Doug, you're the last one to speak today. We'd love your take on this last question about the future focus.
No pressure. Yeah, from a US QHIN standpoint, you know, we're really looking to become a vital component of the national interoperability landscape, and really want to, by that point, have and intend to have delivered some meaningful, successful, unique solutions and at national scale to continue to solve the challenges that we have. So that's what I'm looking to do.
Excellent. All right, perfect. Well, this concludes this Rosetta Health podcast interview that highlighted key insights into how the Velatora Public Benefit Corporation is really bringing a new model of health data exchange to the marketplace. And today we were joined by Tim Pletcher, who's the president and CEO of Velatora LLC. He's also the executive director of MyHIN. Mary Kratz, executive vice president of the Interoperability Institute. Angie Bass, executive vice president of Velatora HIE Corporation. Rick Wilkening, executive vice president of Velatora Services, and Doug Dietzman, executive vice president of the United States QHIN. And Tim, Mary, Angie, Rick, and Doug, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Matt.